Strap yourself in,
because we're set up, switched on, and ready to go.
Yes, sir. Reading you loud and clear. Clear. The clock has started.
Five, 5, 4, 4, 3, 3, 2, 1.
This week's episode of our podcast. Today we are going to interview some of the greatest and most influential minds in our field. By sharing our collective expertise, we will show you how to harness, control, and use your own skill set to achieve ultimate success and live the life you want. And now, please welcome your host.
Welcome to this week's Smallest Guys podcast. This podcast is designed for small government contractors, service providers, and manufacturers as part of the government contractor ecosystem, connecting people, organizations, and resources. This week, we have DK in the house. DK, welcome.
Thank you. Live from the Smalls World headquarters.
Yeah. Headquarters centered right here in Colorado Springs, Colorado. And this week, we haven't done this for like 2 weeks.
Nope.
So
we were on vacation.
Our apologies for that.
Sort of.
So we kind of reused
a workation. A workation.
Yeah,
workation. I was on a workation.
I still read emails. I didn't open the laptop though.
There you go.
But so in house this week we have somebody that has started her own company. We're going to give her a new title today, but her name is Christy Frieg. And she owns a company. She's the founder of Alethea Software Solutions. Welcome, Christy.
Thanks. I'm so happy to be here.
So she wants to be called the president, but we gave her a new name, and her new name is going to be Goddess, because it's
Goddess of Alethea.
Goddess of Alethea, because it's
Alethea. I forgot what Alethea stood for.
It's the Greek concept of truthfulness and sincerity.
Nice.
Is that true?
I want to go read a book now.
It is. If it wasn't, that would be the ultimate irony, and I shouldn't be called.
You probably shouldn't be called Goddess then.
No, I shouldn't at that point.
What's the opposite of that? There's a goddess of war, isn't there, or something like that? Or
that's Mars, god of war.
Mm-hmm.
Is it? Yeah. Okay. Which is not Greek, though.
I think Mars is Greek.
Is it Greek?
Yeah.
I don't
pretty
know.
Sure, yeah.
And then the Romans just took everything and renamed it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
I don't know. You're out of my league now.
Yeah. We need to get a book on that.
No, we don't.
It'd be interesting.
It'd be boring.
Stupid facts that most people don't know.
That's most of the things we know.
Pretty much. My wife has asked me many times. She's like, how do you know that? And I'm like, I watched Jeopardy a long time. I don't know.
I don't do very good at Jeopardy usually.
No, she's like,
some of the things you know, I just don't know why.
And I don't know either. But that I know? Things that I know?
In college, I couldn't remember how to do this math thing. And then, but I could remember all the people and Friends. I don't know.
My favorite memory in college is when the professor was doing a math problem, and she started on one. It was like three or four chalkboards, right?
Yep.
And so she's going down the chalkboard. She gets all the way to the end on the last chalkboard, down to the bottom corner, and goes, "Oh, that's not right."
Oh no!
That was
my favorite moment of college.
That is amazing.
I had a similar effect. Only my professor. Well, it was one of the advanced engineering mathematics courses I took, and he was a very skinny guy. I was dressed up in a full 3-piece suit.
Yeah.
But then he would literally wear lime green climber shoes.
Nice.
And he would come in. I don't know if you guys, you're not old enough, Miss Goddess, the fastest talker in the world, the Micro Machines guy.
Yep.
You might have saw it on YouTube or something, but Micro Machines guy would talk the fastest talker ever.
Right.
And chalkboards again. 3 chalkboards all the way around the room. The rest was windows. And he'd be like, okay, on Monday morning, he'd be like, okay, everybody get the homework? We'd be like, no. And he's like, okay, let me show you the answer real quick. And he would spend 40 minutes writing on every one of the, and this was the chalkboards where you could pull them down and then push the other one up so you could do a full wall.
Right.
Full wall, full 3 walls. And he would finish at the very end, and he'd just stand up straight and like slap his legs. He'd be like, any questions? And be like, yeah, can you start over at the beginning, like the first? Anyway, we're not here to talk about our college experiences. That's another story.
Chalkboards showed our age right there.
Yes.
Okay. Do they still have chalkboards? I don't think they have like whiteboards.
Actually, they're going back to it now.
Oh,
some
really?
Of them, yeah.
Okay, so let's talk about our company.
Yeah, let's talk about our company. Okay. I'm not going to limit you. Tell us about your company. Tell us, but let us talk too, okay?
Yeah, yeah, anytime. Interject, yeah.
We haven't been together in a couple of weeks, so it's kind of weird.
It's okay. I we can roll with it.
Yeah, you need to state that a little different. That's really weird. Okay.
Yeah.
Back
so,
to PG-13.
Yeah. So I started in 2020, March of 2020, which is a little bit crazy because that was right when everything COVID. Started shutting down. And so it was a little crazy because my husband was already self-employed, so we were kind of relying on my full-time employment to provide benefits and PTO and
were you a developer 401k? Before?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so yeah, you're a software engineer.
And this has always been my dream is to have my own software company. And so we decided to take the plunge. I was 6 weeks pregnant with our second kid. We were not sure how we were going to do health insurance. We didn't know if my contract was going to be good for longer than 3 to 6 months. But we really felt like it was the right decision for us. And for me personally, Alethea is really rooted in two things, in a dream, in my dream, and in my faith. So when I was 15, from then on, I knew I wanted to have my own company. So I have been kind of working towards that, envisioning it. Didn't know quite how it was going to come about, but that was my eventual goal. And then from a faith aspect, as I grew older, I started being exposed to all of the people who just struggle and have, you know, who've been marginalized in our culture and who want to be successful and want to provide for their families, but so many obstacles come in their way and they're trying so hard. You know, I've seen people through the years, people who are trying to keep their kids out of foster care, but they just can't get a job, or single moms who don't have a resume because they were a stay-at-home mom. They find themselves single mom. They don't have childcare. They don't have a resume. They can't find a job. People who made a mistake and now they have something on their record and can't find a job. You know, there's just so many people who would really, and who would really do good with an opportunity if they were given one. But nobody wants to give them that opportunity because it's a risk. And so as I kind of moved, you know, through life and grew up and this dream kind of matured, the vision really became for me, I've really experienced in a real way the love of God in my life, and it's been really transformational. And that's the whole purpose of Alethea, really, is number one, to build excellent software that delights customers, exceeds expectations. That's what we do. But if I want to look back in 5-10 years and decide whether or not Alethea has been a success, it's going to be by that metric of, you know, are we impacting people's lives? Are we bringing that love that I experienced to other people and giving them chances and giving them opportunities to be successful, whether that's through training opportunities, whether it's through different interview techniques that highlight different things other than a resume, different recruiting techniques, anything like that. So really, that's my vision, is to pursue excellence and then to impact people's lives. If I can do those two things through Alethea, then I will judge myself as a success. So we're about a year and a half in. We have several contracts now. We have several people working with us, and it's been a really exciting journey. There's been just thing after thing. It's such a ripe environment right now for software engineering, and everybody needs it. So that's been a huge blessing, and I've been able to already kind of live out that dream in certain ways. For giving people opportunities and, you know, other people who are being overlooked, giving them a chance and giving them an opportunity to be successful. So it's been an awesome journey so far.
So I'm assuming you're commercial, right? We already talked about this once before. Are you government contracting?
Government.
Mm-hmm. Oh, government contracting.
Yeah. So yeah, I want to touch on that. But first of all, congratulations on the second born. Cause
thank
that
you.
Was September by my calculations, approximately.
October. Yes.
October. Okay. Mm-hmm. So, so congratulations on that.
Thank you. Girl. Two girls now.
Two girls.
So, yeah.
We'll say a little prayer for you later.
Yes, and the dog's a girl too, so say a prayer for my husband.
Yeah. Husband, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Mr. Freak. I've got beer at my house if you ever want to come over.
There you go. He needs like a man retreat every once in a while.
Yep. I've got one daughter and two sons, so.
Okay, so a little bit of the opposite.
His daughter runs the house. Just don't let him fool you.
Yeah, whenever
you're listening
on the phone,
right now, she's listening right now.
Thanks, Dennis. He's always like, "Hey, Morgan, you need to. Your dad needs to buy you some more Starbucks." I'm like, "Dude, what are you doing?"
She and I are tight now.
And then a week later, she got more Starbucks. Right?
Yes.
Yeah. Exactly.
Sorry.
No. So, and also, good job, and I commend you on trying to help others. I'm curious.
I like the whole female-owned software company.
Oh, 100%.
Yes. That's also kind of anomaly in the software world. There's not a lot of females. And we at Quantum, I said my company's name, don't normally say that. But we actually make it a priority to hire more women because we feel like that's kind of underrepresented, particularly in the DoD space and government contracting. But it's becoming more and more, you know, it's better. But we are also behind that, too. And I applaud that's you for awesome. Doing that, too. That's great.
Yeah.
Yeah, the whole story, I like it. Yep.
So I
want to get in a couple of things. So right. one, so we are, we, I don't know if I, we talked, and that's kind of how we kind of got connected here is we here at the company, we are developing our own software factory as well. And more than anything, we are culture-based as
yes.
opposed to, and I liked when you told us the story about focusing on more than just a technical resume. Because that is 100% what we do. We focus more on the cultural fit first. Technical skills can be taught.
Right.
Especially the way we develop things is we're 100% paired all the time, pair programming. So if you're not as experienced on Java, but this guy is, we're going to pair you guys together. And the expectation is you're going to learn even just a little bit in 1 week, right? Not to become an expert, but, and you keep doing that over and over and over again, everybody comes up at the same time.
Absolutely. So, on that note.
Yeah.
I bought the books that you recommended, and I started reading Joy Inc. And part of me, as the developer said in my old ways, is twitching a little bit at that thought. But the other part of me is like, this is it. This is the blueprint. This is the blueprint for having a successful
software
company.
Did you hear that, Rich Sheridan? Did you hear that?
It is the blueprint.
And I will come meet you, Rich Sheridan. I will take a tour of your company, and I will learn your ways, and we will bring them to Aletheia.
Well, we're executing those here, too. So
yeah, I know. I would love to work with you guys.
We need to get Rich out here to Colorado.
I would love to meet him already.
We need to have the Smalls Conference. When we do the Smalls Conference next year, we'll bring him. So
by the way, when you go to their website, menloinnovations.com, you can actually sign up for a lot of their classes. They've got free classes. They've got
paid for
ones, which you'll have a chance to actually meet with them as a one-on-one, too, on those.
That is awesome. Yeah, so. I listened to the podcast that you guys did with him, and he mentioned they're doing virtual tours now, which is fantastic. So I could just join a virtual tour. I love it.
I can tell you, we've been doing it for a little while now, the pairing. And what you just said, the software engineering, it was kind of twitching a little bit. I can tell you every one of the software developers, 80% of the software developers we've hired so far have had this said the exact same thing.
But we actually ran the experiment, as Rich likes to say. We had Amazon Cloud Training here, and they were running through some scenarios, and we actually had some of the guys, okay, let's put the proof to the pudding. Go ahead and do it paired. They finished hours before
like
all the rest
4 hours
of the team.
Before the rest of the team.
Yeah.
We were actually like, what's wrong? Is there something wrong? They're like, no, because we paired, we had two brains working these problems, and it would just finish quicker.
That is awesome.
Yeah.
So those people that say if you pair, it's just going to cost you double. Not true, because it takes you half the time because you got two people working the problem.
So right. Tell us more about what kind of, so you're a government contractor. Are you a woman-owned small business?
We are certified woman-owned small business.
Okay. And do you have a, I'm guessing you don't have an FCL yet. So
not yet. Working on that. We're also just working on clearances. A lot of my team have clearances. We want to hold them.
Right.
Talk to Tina, you know, we're going to get maybe set up after I get back. But yeah, that's where we want to go.
So you're already working with us on the side here. Mm-hmm. We won't talk about our company anymore.
good job, Dennis.
Okay, good.
Yeah, so that's where we want to go.
good.
Yeah, that's primarily it. We have done some work in the commercial world, but
so
really
you have,
SATCOM.
Do you have people on government contract sites, or are you doing it from a facility or from home? What do you mostly your stuff do so far?
So far it's been, if we need to do classified work, it's, either It's at Peterson. It's right. kind of where we go to get on Sipper. Other than that, we're really just working mostly on class, kind of by happenstance. It's just what it
no,
is.
No,
right
I think
now.
Most of the software development, yeah, a lot of that can be done.
Most mm-hmm. code should be done. Yeah. At unclass level.
Until you roll in the data.
Until right. you roll in the data exactly. is when it becomes yeah. classified. So right. I would actually tell you to please stay away from if a company or if somebody that wants to put you on contract wants you to develop something at a classified level, I would probably try to steer that customer away from saying, why do you want it developed mm-hmm. and classified? Because you know it's going to cost you a lot more, right?
Right, I mean, exactly.
And take you a lot longer.
Right.
So where do you want to go? I mean, what's your... So you're starting to move forward. You're starting to get some contracts. Is there an area? I mean, does it matter what kind of, like, you know, most people here want to do space related work. I mean, is that kind of your goal, that direction, or
yeah.
does it matter right now?
You know, at this point, everyone needs software development in some capacity. And, what we've been doing is kind of, providing the, you know, user interface or providing the software pieces that wrap around hardware, firmware, specifically in SATCOM, the SATCOM world. That's where most of our background is. But also really it's transferable depending okay. on what kind of interface needs to be built. You know, it can be flexible.
So you're flexible in anything, mm-hmm. Kubernetes, Docker, containers, all
yep,
of that. Yep,
we do it all, the cloud and multiple frameworks and languages, containerization. I mean, all of the new buzzwords that are
yeah.
coming out that everybody's doing.
That didn't exist when I was developing.
Yeah, so. Exactly.
So your goal, you kind of mentioned in your intro there was...
I think Kubernetes is also, isn't it the two-headed dog?
It is. Cerberus is the three-headed dog. Maybe there's a two-headed dog. I'm not sure. I don't remember.
Yeah, speaking of Greek stuff, I don't know.
I'll have to look that
Are
one
sure
up
that
afterwards.
Wasn't Middle Earth with the two-headed dragon? I don't know. Game of Thrones.
Now you're... now you went off the deep end.
What was I saying, dude?
I have no idea.
Oh, so you're in your intro, you kind of said your plan in 10 years, you want to look back and see whether you're going to judge yourself and the company based on how the end user views the how their interaction with their product. So I'm assuming your goal for the company is going to be to keep growing and not necessarily grow it to sell it, but grow it to keep it.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah. I don't have a goal to sell. Mm-hmm. It would be to build something that lasts, like a, you know, a legacy, something that I could maybe pass on to somebody else that kind of they do. We have a vision. And I think that's one of the challenges of a business as you grow and grow and you get older and more established is, okay, I want this vision to continue beyond me. How do I make sure that happens? Because so often it doesn't. And I think it takes real intentionality in trying to figure out what the blueprint looks like of embedding that in your culture. And culture, like you were saying, is really, really important. And I think if you can ingrain it deep enough in people and train people, you know, from the inside up, then you can accomplish that. But that would be my end goal.
I think that's easier to do, is start with a culture instead, as opposed to have mm-hmm. one culture and then try to change a culture.
You're right.
It's so much
that's
easier.
That's why a lot of mergers fail.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Hey, so Christy, how'd you get into this business? You know,
software or business?
Both software and business. What's your background? How'd you come to this place?
Yeah, well, my dad is in software. Oh. And so that's why I considered it. I don't think if my dad had not been in software, he was originally from, he worked at NASA as a engineer there. And so then he and all his buddies, the rocket scientists, you know, moved into software. Mm-hmm. And so he kind of just encouraged me. I had all these other things I wanted to do. You know, I wanted to be a veterinarian or marine biologist
me
or whatever.
Too. Me too.
Yeah, I
marine
mean,
biologist.
Everybody kind of goes through those phases,
except,
right?
Except I found out now, later in my life, that I get seasick.
Yes, me too. I would have been a poor life decision.
No. We would have fed the fish and we would have always had them coming to the boat.
Exactly. Oh, gosh. Yeah, exactly. So that, when I realized I couldn't live anywhere, you know, that's when you're a marine biologist, you got to live near water. And
yeah.
I don't know. I just didn't like the idea of being tied down to any one thing. And so that's what one of the things that was really appealing about software was, it can be done anywhere, it can be done on any terms.
Right.
That was kind of my philosophy. Was I knew I wanted a family, I knew we wanted to have kids, and I wanted to be there for my kids. be around them, have the flexibility to work wherever, whenever. And that's actually kind of, that was a really big non-negotiable for me. And that was all, kind of why I started Alethea, was because it came to a point in my position where I was basically given an ultimatum. Either you come back to the office 5 days a week, because I was working from home 2 days a week, mm-hmm. taking care of my daughter and working, and or find another job. And, you know, that just really wasn't in the blueprint for me. And that's kind of one of my messages to people, is if you have a blueprint of your life and the things that you want for your life, you don't have to settle for door number one or number two. You know, if you're presented with two options that are not good options, that go against your blueprint, even if door number three requires a big leap of faith, you know, like it did for us, like I said, straight into COVID, my husband and I were sitting on the beach in Mexico on March 13th. I was going back and forth with the HR manager. I was going to quit on the 23rd, and we didn't even know if we were going to get back to the US because of COVID. And I pulled the trigger and went through with it, because I knew this was my vision. I knew this was what I wanted for my life. And what about, you know, what if door number three is better than door number one or door number two could have ever been? I feel like
if all else fails, pick C.
Exactly. That's the option that's the most likely to be correct.
No,
exactly.
You took a pretty big leap of faith.
Yeah, huge.
I mean, yes. And like you said, though, one nice thing about software development, and, you know, we've been talking to quite a few software developers. That's one thing that he can't really do doing the paired programming as well, because you can do it virtually, but it's not typically as good.
You can do it. It's just
you can.
The once again, trying to start a culture from ground up.
Yeah.
Right.
It's very important to me to have this interaction. The energy level is not the same.
Right.
Even though you can do the work can be done. It can be done very easily. Pairing remotely. I mean, it's been proven. As long as your internet connection stays up, you're fine.
So I follow a lot of, on Instagram, I follow a lot of innovators, if you will. And, you know, one of the things was software development and the whole, you know, you could do it as a side gig. You can do it part-time. You can do it all online. There's a lot of those types of fields now where people can have more flexibility and mobility on what they want to do. And so I think, especially now after post-COVID kind of, although we're not post yet, but there's definitely seems to be more of a acceptance of that. Mm-hmm. I don't think it was accepted as much. And now people are like, yeah, why not?
Right.
Right. I have a friend whose daughter works for Facebook, and they kicked them all out of Facebook. You know, you can't work here because of COVID. So she said, you know what? I've always wanted to learn how to surf. So she went and started going up and down the California coast in her Sprinter van. And now they, they were living, so they can't afford to live in the Bay Area there, right? So the parking lot is actually full of Sprinter vans and people living. They actually have hookups, and they give you showers, and they feed three meals a day. Yeah, so they actually give them a stipend for food now because they can't feed them.
Oh, right.
Anyhow, whole nother story. So anyways, so they ask if she wants to come back to work now, you have the choice. And she's like, well, do I have to go back to work? And they're like, no, if you want to stay mobile, you can. She goes, I'm going to keep surfing and be mobile.
There you go.
I'm like, oh my God, I'm living the wrong life.
Yeah, but right? Dude, I follow Instagram van life, okay? And it's me too. Not all me too. The pretty pictures.
My point, as you're standing there taking your shower next to the van and somebody comes driving by. But anyways, that's not the point of this thing was, my point was,
squirrel.
What's nice about the software development, like you said, is there is some flexibility in that career field.
Right.
Okay.
Particularly more so now.
So we're going to take a quick break, but when we come back, I've got some more questions written down about that. So
about van life?
No, well, whatever. wherever the conversation takes us. So Dennis and I always say, before we go on break, we're going to say, when you say you chose the third choice and one of your recommendations, just go for it. That's kind of Dennis and I's model lately as well, is just have the conversation wherever it takes you, right? You never know.
Exactly.
I didn't tell
take
you about
the steps.
I didn't tell you about the millionaire, monthly millionaire I met down there in Florida at the waiting in the Lao Ocean Cafe. We'll have a discussion about that later.
Okay. Well, I might have found one of our new cyber guys walking over to Taco Bell. So
that's true.
Anyway, we'll be right back.
Did you know that the Department of Defense has over 350,000 contractors? Many of these firms will be forced out of business in the year 2021 because they are not CMMC compliant. Livelihoods will be lost because they have not implemented the CMMC protocol. DevilDog Cybersecurity partners with contractors to create and implement robust cybersecurity solutions that meet the DoD requirements. Our team of engineers have a large depth of knowledge in the CMMC and NIST 800-171. Solutions can be implemented in as little as 30 to 90 days, depending on the size and scope of the project. Best of all, DevoDog has an affordable pricing structure specifically designed for small to medium-sized business. The big question is your firm ready for a CMMC audit? Contact DevoDog Cybersecurity and receive your free vulnerability assessment with no obligation. Register for your free assessment at devildogcyber.com. DevoDog is here to make cybersecurity compliance affordable, fast, and painless. Our solutions let you focus on doing the work you do best, the heart of your business.
Welcome back to this week's Smallest Cast podcast. This week we have DK in the house. Welcome back, DK.
Thanks.
And we have
the goddess of Aletheia.
There you go. The goddess of Aletheia,
Christy.
Mrs. Christy Freig. Welcome back.
Thank you.
You do go by Mrs., right?
Yeah, sure. I mean, it sounds so old, but it's fine. I am a Mrs.
Well, thank you, because it drives me nuts. My wife is a teacher, and when I grew up, we were like,
Miss
I don't
want to
say beat, but Shelley, Shannon.
No, I know, but like that kind of name, Miss Shelley, Miss Susie.
Well, they call her Miss Mosier.
First name. Oh, they do?
Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
But they get the last name. And it's not Mosier, it's Moser. It's German, not French. So I'm like, why don't you correct them? She's like, it's too hard for them. I'm like, no, it's not. And then they'll call her Miss. And I'm like, it's not Miss. When did we stop calling married women Mrs.? Because people
it
like,
sounds old.
Because
it
sounds Mrs. Freig? I mean, that sounds like
your
my
mother?
Grandma. Yeah, yeah. Or my husband's grandma. My husband's grandma.
Yeah, I was going to say,
Freig.
Your grandmother, that'd be kind of weird if.
But
yeah,
you
that
are.
Would be odd. That would be not
well,
okay.
You might not have taken your husband's last name.
That's
I
true.
Don't know that.
That's fair.
So.
That's fair.
But you, after you just got done explaining why you did what you did for your company, I can tell you're kind of old school anyway.
That's true.
You're an old soul.
I would identify more as, yeah, like an old school soul.
Yeah.
Okay. We are going down
questions.
Some rabbit holes today. What's been your biggest challenge so far? Whoa. What's been your biggest challenge so far as you've kind of, when you took that leap, now you are to where you are today, what's kind of smacked you that you weren't expecting?
You know, I don't know that I wasn't expecting it. I was definitely expecting it. The biggest challenge is really that, it feels like there's nobody doing what I'm doing. From the standpoint of people I know or people who, can help or support or guide, there's really no one who can tell you the right way to do it. There's no right way to do it. And so for someone who's looking for a step 1, 2, 3, how to start a successful software company, there isn't one. And so it's been just kind of muddling through.
There is. You already bought the books.
Well, okay.
Did you go to PTAC or any of those
yes,
kind of
so
things?
I will say that PTAC has been extremely helpful.
Yes.
But they still can't, tell you,
right.
Here's some leads.
They get you set up into, here's
actually,
how you get into government
they
content.
They can. Have they set you up on BidMatch yet?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
You need to contact your local PTAC.
Yeah.
And if you need help on that, I can definitely put you in touch. But you've already talked to them. But they have a product for free every single day, BidMatch. They'll set up BidMatch for you.
Okay.
And it scours the
everything.
The web.
Local, state, federal.
You can set up however you want to for whatever types of job functions you're looking for. And then they'll send you an email every day saying, here's a list.
Here's
okay,
the 100
awesome.
Of them.
But you have to make sure you scope it.
Yeah.
Otherwise you get them all.
Yeah. Right. So we did it.
At first, and it might take a few iterations.
Okay. Every day.
It might take a few iterations to say,
yeah.
Well,
to
maybe adjust
in.
these keywords, but. Very good. Very
okay,
easy.
Awesome.
So what about the Small Business Development Center, SBDC? Did you use that much?
I think so. I think the PTAC stuck because...
Well, SBDC also has lots of free opportunities. They have classes. They have webinars. They also... So we're big proponents of both of them.
They have classes. Who did we just find out? We had them on the podcast. Who was it?
The Pikes Peak
Workforce Center,
PPWC, also offers facilities, classes.
All free.
All free counseling. And then the other one was SCORE.
SCORE.
Yes, yeah. SCORE I have been involved with.
Yeah.
Yeah, so there's definitely resources. I think
yes.
It's just you have to kind of build
yes.
your own thing. You
yes.
know, you have to piece all of these things together.
They kind of set kind of the boundaries and give exactly. you how to like get the paperwork in place, what paperwork right. you need.
The processes yes. they will tell, and that has been company, so helpful. Yeah, but as far as the company and where you want
to
go.
Well,
and
even setting up your company, you know, going to the IRS sites or going to the state sites. Now they change, I don't know if I was trying to do the taxes here for the smalls this or a couple months ago, and they just changed the whole website for the state, that was it, Department of Secretary of State.
Yeah, I just have an account, and I'm like, that helped yeah. me. Yeah. I can't.
So those are all kinds of things you have to do, too. Yeah. There's a lot to it.
Yeah, so it's just, I think that's been the biggest thing is just, you know.
Navigating
it, yeah. And
as we say for Dennis Cater, navigating.
Navigating.
Are you full owner?
Yes.
Okay, so you're 100% ownership.
Mm-hmm.
Does your husband work for you then? You said he works.
No, he has his own business.
Okay, what does he mm-hmm. do?
He's like a personal trainer, health and wellness coach. That's his passion is
right.
nutrition, helping people be healthy and live their own best lives from a health perspective.
Oh, nice. Good. Yeah. That's actually yeah. a good fit to you.
Yeah.
So
exactly.
you have offices next door to each other at the house?
Yeah, we do. Yeah. Well, his is downstairs. Mine is mobile and in the kitchen.
In a Sprinter van.
In a yeah. Sprinter van.
I have a van. We live in a van.
Yeah. Well, hey.
Down by the river.
Down by the river, yes.
So what advice would you give to other startups if they're going to start a company? So we've had, you know, pretty large companies, medium size. You're definitely a startup still. So,
but she's doing dang good for startup of a year and a half, and she already has multiple contracts. Yes. And how many employees?
So how did
you, there's six of us total.
That's so how did you get the contracts? What was the methodology for that?
Yeah. So honestly, one of the biggest things that I have noticed is that your past will haunt you in a good way or a bad way. So if you do good work while you're working for other people, it can come back to serve you later. Yeah. And that's exactly what's happened is the company that I used to work for, I have two contracts with them now, or three.
So you're subbing.
Yes. So I'm subbing to them. And then other people from the past that I've done good work for actually just kind of reached out and wanted to see if we could work together. And so that's one of the really big things that's important is do good work always, even when it's not for you and for your own benefit, because it will always come back.
It's always a representation of
it's,
you.
To me, yeah, it's also that, not exactly. just about doing good work. It's also about being decent to people.
Right.
Don't be a jerk. If you're a jerk, yes. that will get out very quickly.
Yes.
Well, how did you connect with us? Is that networking that's through the small somehow, right?
That was through PTAC, actually.
Oh, it was? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay.
So yeah. our executive director, Mr. Jonathan Vitito, and I was having lunch one day, and I was telling him about our software factory. And I said, hey, do you know anybody
that does
software? And he's like, you need to call this lady. He's like, you need to get in contact with her. She's one of the best people for software that he's ever met. And in the meantime, I was actually looking to hire people. So I was like, man, maybe I'll get her to come over work for me or something like that. But
yeah.
instead, she's like, no, I'm doing good with my own company. I'm like, cool. Well, let's stay in touch because we're going to need more help eventually.
Yep. We might have something now already. We have to talk afterwards.
Yeah.
Okay. Absolutely. So advice to other startups was network, do
yes.
good work.
Yeah. And just always do. Yeah. Like you said, just always be good to people. I have had so many situations where I was so tempted to just let somebody have it or just, you know, be passive aggressive or less than professional because they deserved it, you know, but all of the times where I resisted doing that, I have been so glad later that I did not, because it will come back.
Right.
You know, everything comes back. And so I'd say if you're not in a position to start up yet, you know, make sure that you do the best work that you possibly can, create your reputation, treat people well, and that will come to serve you later. If you're at the precipice and you're thinking about doing something, but you're afraid, you're wondering if it's going to go wrong, honestly, expanding your mindset, that's been one of the biggest
changes. I was just going to ask you what your new life skills you picked up. So
yeah, I have totally changed the way that I think about myself and the possibilities.
So what do you think about yourself now? What
I feel like I can do anything.
Anything is possible.
Anything is possible. And reading books like written by people like Rich Sheridan, or reading Think and Grow Rich, or reading, you know, How to Win Friends and Influence People, all these long-standing quality books by people who are also successful and dreamers, like it could be you.
That's also one of my favorites, by the way, How to Win Friends. And
that is a great one.
You should read that more often. Anyhow.
I'm pretty good, pretty successful
anyway,
in the last year.
Anyway.
But no, so I do have one quick question. Yes. So I'm going to take us back to the Mexico story on the beach.
Yes.
What were you drinking?
No. Nothing. I was pregnant.
Yeah. Hopefully. She was just smoking.
I was drinking a virgin mango smoothie.
That's a horrible Mexico vacation.
Ooh.
But
you know, it's better than no Mexico vacation.
No, but mango smoothie, yep.
I'm with Mexico's actually booked for next month for me. So
nice.
Okay.
I haven't decided if we're going to
go. Get back.
Anyway, Squirrel, you had said you wanted to... How did you put it? I can't rewind.
She's precipice. I'm still stuck on that. That's a big word.
It was a very big word.
You and I looked at each other.
You actually had another word in here that all of the... It didn't make sense.
So what time do you get up in the morning? Do you get up early? You're an early riser? Life skills.
No, that's what I'm going back to. Because she made a comment about she just wanted to go open her own company.
Yeah.
She could make her own time frame.
Yeah. That's why I was asking.
That's been the opposite. That's the reason why I haven't, because I don't want to work 80 to 100 hours every single week and never have a vacation.
But I do anyways.
Okay. So one of the best books. Yeah. So one of the really good books that influenced my thinking was The E-Myth Revisited. The Entrepreneurial Myth by Michael, and I forgot his last name. It is a fantastic book. And the first part of it was very convicting for me personally, because he talks about the relationship inside usually technical people, technicians, he calls them the technician, where you work for somebody doing the thing that you like to do, and then eventually the boss becomes overbearing or the work becomes drudgery, and you're like, I want to start my own business. You don't love it anymore. And so then you start your own thing, and slowly the business itself becomes the boss that you hated, because it owns you now.
Yeah.
And you have to answer to it, and you have to work 80 to 100 hours to make it work. And so he talks about the manager and the entrepreneur and the technician, which all of us have inside of us in varying balances, and talks about how to make them play nicely. And he, along with other entrepreneurs that I follow on social media, they talk about you must limit yourself to 40 hours a week, non-negotiable. You can be successful doing 40 hours a week and no more.
Okay, so...
Because then you're a slave to your business.
So where are you in that?
I work less than 40 hours a week.
Do you really?
Yeah.
Good on you.
And I shut it off. My husband and I shut it off. Like because we have two little ones, you know? So at 6:30 or 7, no more work happens unless there's some kind of an emergency or, you know, sometimes things come up and we have to do stuff, but...
So you're outsourcing a lot of things. You already said you have an accountant. Mm-hmm. You probably got somebody doing your books, your finances. Mm-hmm. You're doing more management kind of things.
I try to figure out what are the most essential tasks that only I can do. And I do those things. And then everything else I outsource.
Good.
To various people.
Good.
So you were smart enough to realize that accounting wasn't one of your core competencies.
Exactly. No, I don't want to spend my time. And if you do the math on, you know, okay, how much money can I make if I sit here and work on my project on one of my contracts for an hour? Okay. In that amount of time, I can pay my contractor or my accountant to work for me for,
Do you program anymore?
Yes, I do.
So you still code. Okay.
Less and less, more hopping, you know, doing high level architecture, more project engineering. I do that on a few of the contracts, managing everybody's tasking, running the meetings, doing, you know, higher level stuff. I'm doing less and less coding, but I still do.
Do you have any tools or apps, tools that you use to kind of manage your time?
No, I have a notebook.
Nothing abnormal. Yeah. I noticed you had one earlier. So
yeah, I have a notebook and a schedule, and I just write it down.
But how do you do stuff if you're working remote, if you will, or?
There's not really anything that I have to do in person unless I need to go visit a client site for some specific task. Then I go to their site. But other than that, everything can be done remotely at this point. It is something that I want, you know, once we're out of the season with small kids, I want to have a brick and mortar office, create the culture, create the, you know, the whole everything about the business.
I can't say enough good things about pair programming. So if you get to the point where you want to try something new, you know, as Rich puts it, just run the experiment.
Right? I love it.
How many stickers are those?
I bought some stickers. Yes, I did. I'm plastering them everywhere. But
have you seen this, the picture we put on his door with he and Rich and
No, I don't think so.
Rich doesn't know about that. Yeah. So these guys are like, man, you drank the Kool-Aid. I'm like, you know what?
It's delicious Kool-Aid, right?
any habits? I'm trying to get to things that you've learned now, things that you do different now that you're the owner, manager, running things. Any habits that you...
She can have a glass of wine now that she's not having a baby right now.
That is true. So I really feel like, you know, my priorities in my personal life are... my relationship with God, my relationship with my husband and my family and my health, and then my business. My business is extremely important. Just because it's lower on the list doesn't mean it's not important,
right?
But it means that every day I'm assessing the health of my relationships. Are my kids feeling loved? Is my husband feeling loved? Am I spending the time that I want, you know, exercising, you know, praying, the things that are important to me? Am I getting all of those things in? And then the rest of the time is spent doing the business. And then inside the business, I've decided what the most important tasks are that I can be doing. And I do only those things. So there's kind of this constant question mark in the back of my brain. Like, do I need to be doing this? Do I need to be doing this? Do I need to be doing this right now? Can I give it to somebody else? And that's really hard for someone who's a perfectionist, because what if they don't do it right, you know? And so letting go of control has been really huge, but it frees up so much of my time.
So I call that the pendulum effect. So I'm the same way, only on the engineering and hardware side typically. So when I was running very large projects as a lead engineer, I'd be like, okay, so I got to do all this, right? Because I know what I'm doing. I know what works, what doesn't work. So I've been here for a couple of years doing it. But then what happens is that your boss or somebody else gives you more work. So then you try to do the same thing on two of them. They're like, I can't do this. So I need to hand some of it off. So the pendulum swings to the other end, but then that person ends up dropping the ball or something like that. So then the pendulum swings back over to where I'm going to grab everything. So you got to find that happy middle where you're willing to give stuff up, and you have to, like you said, you have to talk to yourself and figure out what can I give, not what can I give, because theoretically everybody's replaceable. You give everything off. But what makes sense to give off to somebody else?
Well, I applaud her for figuring this out early, because, like, you know, I'm a little older and I'm figuring it out. I'm getting, you know, crushed by things now. And now I'm having to just, and now I'm like missing meetings or whatever. I'm like, oh, yeah, well.
Mm-hmm, right.
You know what I mean? I don't have a choice.
You guys have that don't care stage.
Yeah.
That's the pendulum
side that I came to, right?
Yeah, you have to. And it's the best thing you can do for your company.
Right.
To keep yourself healthy and energized and doing
all that. Because I was feeling it there for a while, and I was like, I can't keep motoring.
But
like
that's
this.
Where some of these quote unquote self help books.
Yes.
To me, it really helped.
That's why I was asking about tools and kind of things to see what people are. I always interested in what people are doing and or using. You know, I get all these things about, well, you should try this tool. And I try a lot of tools out, but most of them are like, eh.
Yeah, I really think it's more about your process and, you know, what you believe, you know, at a deeper level, what your priorities are.
Right.
Because that will dictate the tempo of your life and your days way more than any tools, you know, that you have. The tool, it's the principles, right? It's not the process. The principles are the most important thing. The process is just
how you do
syntactical, you know? Yeah. Yep. How you do
it. We're running out of time here, but real quick, what have you found that helps motivate the people that work for you?
I think, encouraging them is really big and believing in them. I just remember all the times as a programmer when I would mess something up or when I would feel inadequate and just, you know, how crushing that can be. But then somebody believed in me and was like, you know, it's okay. You're doing great. Let's figure it out. Let's fix it. You know, I remember one time I bombed a really big demo, and they just, my boss still expressed that belief in me, and they were like, you know, It happens to all of us. And, you know, we take for granted sometimes, like, people usually, there's some people who don't really care, but a lot of times people don't need another person like to beat them up, because they'll beat themselves up. They need somebody to believe in them. And that's the most important and most powerful gift I think you can give people, is to speak life and encouragement over them, because people don't do that for themselves.
And bring donuts and breakfast burritos.
Exactly.
So I can tell you right now, Alethea Software Solutions is going to blow up.
Yep.
It's going to be good because you already figured that out.
Seriously. Like I said, you figured out a lot of things that
it took me 10 years or so to figure out. It's more about surrounding yourself with good people.
Mm-hmm.
And then to keep those good people, help them smile every day. Mm-hmm. Right. I mean, seriously, I walk through our software factory and I will literally hear like somebody like having a bad day or something like that. And I'll just pull up like a song that I've kind of whatever that I'll think of like a Viking song and be like, for some reason, I don't know why, but every time I want to walk through here, I want to hear this Viking song.
Well, probably the Viking hats, right?
Yeah, I'll play it on the phone as I'm walking through and everybody like just stops and like looks at me. They're like, you're such an idiot. I'm like, yeah, but you know what?
But did you smile? You stopped
thinking
about it
and I saw a smile. Yep. So it's just little things.
I agree. Totally agree.
Go ahead, Dennis, say it.
I'm so getting you a Viking hat.
Yeah, I'm surprised you don't have one already, honestly.
We do. We're talking doing like a 10-pound weight for the stand-up now.
Okay, so, then that so it will be 15 talking. Minutes. Yeah.
Right. Okay, any other questions?
No, I'm worried about you now. Christy, this is great. Thank you very much for coming on today.
Yeah.
This was really good. And like I said, we'll want to talk afterwards, but this was really interesting and I appreciate what you're doing, and I concur with Nate. I think you're going to go far. So keep up the good work and keep us posted for everybody online, too. Keep us posted on how you're doing, and we look forward to hearing more about you and your company and how it's growing.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Need to have you back on in a year or two.
Yeah, well, please.
So with that, though, we want to try to help you get work. So how do people get a hold of you?
Well, you can email me at Christie, C-H-R-I-S-T-I-E, at Alethea, A-L-E-T-H-I-A, softwaresolutions.com. That's the best way to reach me.
What's the company website?
It is AletheaSoftwareSolutions.com.
Okay. And they can get you, I'm sure, through there too, right?
Yes.
Do you have an alias? Yep. Domain name?
Alias.
Like ASS?
No, I don't. See, that dawned on me. Okay.
Because I was like sitting, I'm like, how would you shorten that? But I'm like, no, that probably wouldn't be good.
It dawned on me after I decided on the company name. Oh my gosh. What do you do about that? Like at this point, what do? You just hope
you
that
know,
people
if you
don't
hadn't
put two
planted
and two together.
That seed, no one would have thought of it.
Now everyone's thinking about it.
But they'll remember it.
That's exactly right. They'll remember it. That's not it. Do not go to that website. It's AletheaSoftwareSolutions.com, all spelled out. But if you forget with the whole name, just like, oh, remember there's an acronym.
Dang it, Nate.
Sorry.
It's okay.
I actually didn't think of that until I just said it out loud. I'm sorry.
I could see the wheels turning. You know, it was innocent. You didn't mean to do it. And here we are. Maybe we'll change the name eventually.
You're not allowed to go on vacation. You're not allowed to go on vacation.
It's been bad.
Well, we haven't got our groove back on yet either. We're trying to
get our... We need this. We needed this.
Yeah, this is good. Thank you for getting us back on track again.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because we do these
Thanks
every week.
Me.
We just haven't had a chance to...
I'm actually thinking about going to do like a... I'm thinking about recording... Not necessarily
just you singing a Viking song.
No, God, no. bringing some of our developers in, recording their experiences.
That's a great idea.
And then kind of getting that out as marketing and all that kind of stuff. So
I like it.
We need to have Mo back on too. We want to talk about business development stuff.
Yeah, back on. So thanks again, Christy, for coming on the podcast
this
today.
Was great,
and really truly appreciate you coming in house for it because it's so much better.
Yeah, absolutely.
In here and. With that,
AletheaSoftwareSolutions.com.
Yep, exactly.
Check it out.
And Christy at AletheaSoftwareSolutions.com.
Yep.
So, okay, with that, this is Just Nate signing off till next week.
Thanks for listening.
You've reached the end of another episode of the SmallsCast podcast. Connect with us at thesmalls.org. Don't forget to sign up to our newsletter to receive our free materials. See you at the next episode.
See you at the next episode.